though 2019, you are blessed. First of all, this morning again, in the first service, in this celebration, and end of the month Thanksgiving service in our church, in the Winners Chapel International, Maryland, I want to thank God again for the privilege given my wife and I to fellowship with you this morning. You are blessed. Amen. Also, and very importantly, I bring to you wonderful blessing with warm greetings from our spiritual father, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, has asked me to specially thank God for you and give you his prophetic blessing. And so, on his behalf, I declare you blessed today. Yeah. I've received commandment to bless. And when I bless, no one can reverse it. Yeah. So I declare you blessed. Yeah. Anything contrary that came in here with you is swallowed up right now. Yeah. The mark of blessing is going back with you for the week. And let all who will share their testimony this week show it with the loudest amen. Yeah. You are blessed. Yeah. Come Shiloh 2019, all limits around your life shall be broken. Yeah. I'm sure we are all preparing for Shiloh 2019. Yeah. It will meet you well. Yeah. But it will not leave you the way it meets you. By the time we are done with Shiloh this year, you will look around for limits, you won't find them again. Because the God of Shiloh will have destroyed all of them. Lift up your hand, pray with me. Father, visit me at Shiloh 2019. Make it a unique Shiloh for me, the kind I've never experienced before. Now, somebody receive that blessing. Receive that encounter. Receive that encounter. Receive that encounter. In Jesus' wonderful name we are prayed. Amen. Amen. The prophetic focus for this month is godliness is profitable unto all things. There are things you do that are profitable to a few things, or some things, or many things. But the only one thing that will lead to 100% profit is godliness. Godliness means like God. Duplicate of God. And you know, if you have a duplicate of a document, exactly what is on the document is what you see on the duplicate. So living godly makes you reign like God. It gives you access to everything of God and about God. Living godly brings you into the same class with God. As a matter of fact, it brings you into equality with God. Talking about equality with God is not an expression of pride. It's what he has provided for us. When I say I am a God, I didn't apply to be so. I didn't struggle to be so. He made me so. He said, ye are gods. Ye are gods. If I give you a car and you go tell your friends, this is my car, are you proud? Are you being proud? No. God told me I am a God. So I'm telling you I'm a God. Am I being proud? I'm only telling you what he told me. You may not like it. Just like if you show your card to somebody, he may not like it. That's his cup of tea. Amen. How the hell can they be calling themselves gods? I didn't call me so, he called me so. And I'll be stupid not to say what he said about me. He's lifted me. I can't relegate myself. He said, I'm seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He said so. I don't have to feel so. That's why we are called believers. We are called believers not to ask questions about what he says, but to receive what he said. Mary, thou shalt conceive and have a child. And Mary said, well, in the physical, I'm not married, but let it be to me as you have said. Let it be to me as you have said. And as soon as she said that, the angel departed from her to go to make it happen. And suddenly she conceived. So living godly is a possibility. And it's profitable unto all things. 1 Timothy 4:8. The realm of godliness brings you into the realm of possibilities. Godliness brings you into the realm of possibilities because godliness is the class of God. Our teaching series every Sunday, this being part 4A, is captioned, Godliness Empowers Believers for All Round Breakthroughs. Psalm 92, verses 12, all the way to 15, the righteous, the godly, shall flourish, not famish. Like the palm tree, it will be useful. Every part of the palm tree is useful. He shall grow, not groan. Godliness entitles you to growth, like a cedar of Lebanon, the tallest of all trees, no limit of any kind. And those righteous people who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, flourish, not famish, flourish in the courts of our God because they are in the family, in the same environment with God. They shall bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat, not lean, and flourishing. Praise God. Now, we have been told, I believe, since the month began, about our final destination, which is heaven. You will not miss it. Yeah. Heaven is our final destination. If you miss heaven, I can't say what will happen, because none of you will miss it. Yeah. Heaven is our ultimate. There is nothing on the earth here that can compare with heaven. Think about great cities in this world. All of them will come to an end. Everything will someday end. A place is waiting for you and I. We shall get there in the name of Jesus. Yeah. And because Satan is aware of what is waiting for us there, he wants to stop us. And the instrument for stopping us from getting to heaven is sin. Sin, because sinners have no place in heaven. This must be very clear, uncompromisingly. Sinners have no place in heaven. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that your righteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Very plain. Neither fornicators. So please hear it well. If you are living in fornication, you better check yourself. No matter how churchy you are, if you live in sin, you can't get there. Church is not passport to heaven. No. Godliness is. Neither idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, verse 9 or 10, nor thieves, whether burglar thief or, you know, IT thief. Thieves. Stealing. What does not belong to you? From your boss, from your organization. Thieves. Thieves are thieves no matter your status. Nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Can you see that? No way. You can't get there. You can't get there. That's what Jesus said. That's what the word of God says. It's not my idea. It's not our church doctrine. It is biblical truth. He said you can't get there. So Satan knows that once you touch sin, God will withdraw. In the Garden of Eden, that's what he introduced. He introduced sin. Man fell into sin, and glory departed from him. That's why we must vehemently resist the temptation to sin. Vehemently. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 to 9, be sober, be vigilant, For the devil, your adversary, goes about seeking for whom he may devour. Whom resist he steadfast, because you can resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. He said, knowing that the same affliction, the same temptation are accompanied in your brethren that are in the world. You are not different being tempted. Don't think so. Don't let the devil make you think so. Everyone is tempted. Somebody's asking, including you preaching. Oh yeah, perhaps much more than you are tempted. Even Jesus was tempted in all points. Hebrews 4:15. He was tempted. Tempted with drunkenness, tempted with fornication, tempted with lying. In all points. In all points. Maybe your temptation is in a few points. But he was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So he left an example for us that even though you are tempted, you can live without sin. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
Tempted. Tempted. Everyone is tempted. Everyone is tempted. And of course, God allows everybody to be tempted. Why? So we can share testimonies. Amen. You will share your testimony.
Amen.
The good news is that we can all overcome temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will always make a way of escape for you. Oh, yes. There's a way out of temptation. Jesus escaped temptations. You too will escape temptation.
Amen.
Now, also in our teaching series, we've been looking at the forces of ungodliness we must have to overcome. And we'll quickly look at three of them this morning. Number one is the spirit of ingratitude. This is very crucial, especially on our Thanksgiving Day. We must overcome the spirit of ingratitude. Ingrates never become great. All great people in this kingdom were grateful men. Were grateful men. They were grateful men. If you understand that you are unqualified for where you are, you will be grateful. Gratitude is key to greatness. I have never seen a grateful man remain small. Psalm 28, verse 5. Because they regard not the works of God, nor the operation of his hands, he shall destroy them and not build them up. Nothing provokes God like ingratitude. Malachi chapter 2, verse 1 to 3, we're all familiar with that. We must remain ever grateful. Ever grateful. David said, what am I and what is my father's house? That you should think of me and even talk about my future. That's after he brought in the Ark of the Covenant. Who am I? What is my father's house? I decree today that every spirit of ingratitude shall be destroyed from your life.
Amen.
That spirit thrives by murmuring. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Please join me, say, I will not murmur again.
I will not murmur again.
I will ever be grateful to God. I was privileged to start pastoring a church of four people, but always grateful. From four, it increased to seven, ever grateful. From seven, it increased to 13, ever grateful. Increased to 18, ever grateful. And increased to 15 from 18, ever grateful. Amen. If he didn't bring them, can you fight him? No, he said no man can come except the Father brought them. The day we were 34 in attendance was the first day after our wedding. My wife went to that church with me and so excited. Called for photographer, 34 people. It was a great church that day. Amen. To the grateful, everything is great. Everything is great. New car, jalopy or brand new, is great. Amen. Somebody say with me, I'm grateful to God. Number two force of ungodliness we must have to overcome is the spirit of covetousness. The spirit of covetousness is a raging and reigning spirit in our world today. And God commands. Exodus 20:17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Don't like somebody else's house like your own. That's the meaning. I've always liked what I have. What I don't have, I don't need. When I need it, it will come. You tell me you bought a new car, I thank God for you, but I don't like it. Liking your car means settling for something inferior and counterfeit. My original is waiting. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. I hope some men are hearing me. You look at another woman different from your wife. Oh, you're looking quite good. That's what you are telling another woman. Something your wife never had from you. You are coveting somebody else's wife. Is it a crime to share a compliment? No. But share it first in your home. Nor is man servant. Nor is maid servant. Nor is ox. That is his instrument of movement, his car, nor his house, or anything that is your neighbor's. If it is not yours, keep your eyes off. Because yours is on the way coming. Amen. Oh yes, yours is on the way coming. Amen. Did you hear me at all? Amen. Every one of us have our blessing with your name tag on it. Amen. You know something? Anything that is not yours cannot fit you. When it is yours, it will fit. And everybody will know that this one is his own. Jesus warned Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness. For the life of a man does not consist or is not defined by the abundance of the things which he possesses. Luke 12:15. Life is not defined by material things. Please don't be carried away. The good shoes you wear, who knows the worth of the shoes? Do you know the worth of the coat I'm wearing? You don't. And who cares about it? Sometimes when I want to wear some dress, my young people in the house tells me, you wore this last Sunday. I say, you don't know anything. I mean, the things that people are looking for in church, can they be looking at your suit? Somebody's looking for healing and you are talking about your suit. He's too busy looking for God. People are not looking after those material things again. You are disturbing yourself too much. And anyway, if your heart is clean, anything you wear is good. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't say you should look, didn't look well anyway. Covetousness is born out of lust of the eyes. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 tells us about the lust of the eyes. The things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loved the world, if any man lost after the love of the Father is not in him. The first love is talking about lust. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye, the lust of the eye, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not for the Father. A blind man hardly covets because he can't see the difference. Can see the difference. Covetousness desperately craves for what does not belong to one. Desperately. Unfortunately, many people leave their good thing and are busy looking after other people's things. It will interest you to know that some people are looking at you and wishing they have what you have. And here you are, you are ignoring what you have, wishing you have somebody else's thing. What a world. What a world. Joshua chapter 2, chapter 7, verse 21. There is the story of the man called Achan.
when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and wedge of gold, then I coveted it. Covetousness will always convert what does not belong to you. And took them. I converted them. Behold, they are hid in the heart, in the midst of the tent, the silver under it. Well, the end of that story, that man was destroyed. And interestingly, or unfortunately, with his innocent family. His innocent family. So I always tell, you know, couples, if you see your husband bringing something in, before you enjoy it, politely, respectfully, sir, can we have the testimony of how this thing came? Don't ask him, where did you get this thing from? I don't want fight in your home. But politely. Polite, and then his conscience will prick him. Politely. My husband has bought this. By the time they catch him, you may not be spared. Praise the Lord. I hope I'm making some sense, please. It always seeks to satisfy the appetite of the eyes. There is the appetite of the eyes. There are people, once they see something, they cannot rest. Gold, car, I must get it. That is the language of the conversion. As a matter of fact, many people are savings. They are saving not to meet their needs, but to satisfy their appetite. So they are running. Money is pushing them. Material things are pushing them. They don't see things as a necessity for their daily living, but as a necessity for pursuit and acclamation and recognition. So people can describe you, oh, now that guy has three cars. Oh, he's living in a very wonderful place. Oh, his suit is £10,000 or $5,000. You run crazy thinking that way. Proverbs 27:20. Listen to this. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eye of man are never satisfied. There is nothing you can do to satisfy the appetite of the eye. You always want more. What about hell? Hell is a place of bottomless pit. So when you are covetous, you'll be living in the realm. You don't know the depth. You just be sinking and sinking and sinking and sinking until you can't find your way again. And that's what happened to covetous people. They want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more. They are not living a satisfied and fulfilled life. They are in pursuit of material things, which leads to destruction, according to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. Covetousness hurries his victims and ends them in sorrow and horrors. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10. Hear the counsel of the Lord. But godliness and contentment is great gain. That is the cure to covetousness. Contentment. Contentment. Be satisfied with who you are. Like what you have. And be content with where you are per time. Because life is in phases and men are in sizes. Don't leave tomorrow today. Starting as a couple with my wife, had no fridge. As a matter of fact, married to her, getting married to her, brought bed for me. I was sleeping on bench before. But ever content. We never ask our neighbors, can we get to put some things in your fridge there? No. No. One day at a time. No television, nothing. But you know, about 3 years ago, somebody carried 7 televisions from my house I didn't know. He stole it. Amen? Because I didn't remember I have them. A time comes in your life, you'll be so blessed, you won't even know what you have. So if you have a thief in your house, it can be a prosperous thief.
And that's fulfilling the covenant. He said he will bless you so much you won't even know what you have again. He said he will bless you to the point that your storehouse will be running overflow. That you will not have room enough to contain it. Be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Then when my wife cooks soup, you have to travel long distance with your spoon to find out where the meat is. Because of how tiny it was. But today, by the grace of God, we don't buy, and we are blessed with a ranch. Amen? You know, God is humorous. When I needed meat, he didn't give it to me. When I don't need it again, he gave it to me. Why? Because of those who need it. So I see somebody's crying, I don't have, you know, this, I don't have. Why not? Go take what? Because I don't need it again. I don't eat it again. You are blessed.
Amen.
I say you are blessed.
Amen.
You are blessed.
Amen.
So be content with what you have. According to that scriptures, 1 Timothy chapter 6, from verse 6 all the way to verse 10. Godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing. This scripture struck me so well, and I like to hit people with it. You brought nothing into this world. And it is certain. I like the word certain. No, you can be angry and hit your head on the floor. It is certain that you cannot carry anything from here. Won't you let that settle you very well? You can't carry anything from this world. When you are gone, they remove the gold ring. They will be arguing the cost of your casket. So you want to buy this? No, that's too costly. That's too costly. We're going to be wasting money. Therefore, having food, not foods. Food, one food. And raiment, one cloth. Like I used to have one. I used to have one coat, only one coat before. Amen. And one shoe. Let us therewith be content. But then I will be rich. They that will be covetous will fall into temptations and snare and into many foolish things. Many will be doing stupid things. Lots, awful lust, which drown men in destruction. Remember, hell and destruction are never satisfied. For the love of money, the love of covetousness is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, I've heard from the faith and all of that. Now, let's go. Number three spirit is the spirit of rebellion. The spirit of rebellion. Rebellion is born out of pride. A feeling of superiority to others. I know more than him. I'm well pushing more than him. I can do better than him. It's a spirit of comparison. In church, in organizations, if they give me a chance, I can preach better than that man. I can do it better. Then you begin to rebel against authority. The end of all rebellious people is destruction. Resentment. Argument. Watch it. Numbers 12, verses 1 to 2. Miriam and Aaron speak against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. They looked for that occasion to accuse him. Verse 2. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Had he not spoken by us also? We too, we are prophets. They forgot that the reason they are there is because Moses was there. The reason I'm here is because Oedipo is here. If he wasn't called, can I be saying I'm a pastor in this commission? No. So I better hide my head. And stay where I belong. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Numbers chapter 16, verse 1 to 13. The same thing happened. Similar thing happened. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and all of that. They took men. You know, rebellious people always go around and ask, can you see what's going on? Can you see? I hope you saw what happened last Sunday. Just for your observation. And then he goes to the next person. Did you notice that sin in the church? You know, that's what I've been telling you. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Shall we pray? Then he comes back to you again. Did you think about that thing I told you the last time? So what are you thinking about it? They took men. They will not take you.
Yeah.
And they rose up when they have took enough people democratically. 250 princes, top class people in the church, famous in the congregation, and renowned men who has voice and accolade and articulation of words. They gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said, you take too much to yourself. Are you the only one there? Why are you disturbing us here? We have decided that you must be out of here. And the Lord heard. It's a thing we have to beware of. Cure to rebellion is humility, orderliness, and obedience. Humility. Humble yourself. God saw you before he put somebody else there. You are working somewhere without prejudice to seeking your labor rights and all of that. Don't seek to pull down what somebody else is doing. If you are not satisfied, leave the place. If you are not satisfied with church leadership, that's why we have many doors. You carry your coat and then say, excuse me. Simple. Because there is no place that will ever satisfy everything you need or that you think. No. To God be the glory.
Hallelujah.
Now, as I begin to close, quickly, how do you overcome the spirit of ungodliness? Very importantly, keep a right company. The company you keep influences you, positive or negative. It makes you unmare you. Those who follow Datan, Akoran, and Abiram, Psalm 106, verses 17 and 18, they were destroyed with them. Many people are destroyed, not for the evil they did, but for the company they keep. Many are destroyed, not always for evil that they did, but for the company that they keep. So I tell people, sanitize your environment. Screen the people around you. Somebody comes to you every day, is lying. Excuse me, please, I don't want you in this house again. Simple. Save your life. The company you keep will mar you or make you. Beware. Lot followed Abraham and was enjoying relationship with him. But one day, the Sodomites called him and said, hey, how can you be a follow person all the time like that? And he withdrew from Abraham, Genesis 13, and he pitched his tent towards Sodom. 13:11. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Lot was a righteous man, but he was seeing everything they did. Eye contact began to affect him. He pitched his tent towards Sodom. And we know what happened from there. He lost his wife, lost his two sons-in-law. And after that, the two daughters committed immorality with him for pitching his tent with bad people. Screen your environment. Maybe you are suffering not for evil that you did, but for the company that you keep. Check it very well, please. From time to time, review your friendship with people, including born-again people. Because there are many who are born again, but are carnal. Amen. Number two, put on the armor of light. When you are in light, darkness cannot prevail. Sin cannot prevail. The light shines in darkness, and darkness cannot comprehend it. Number three, flee on appearances of evil. Anything that appears to be evil, flee. The Bible says, flee. It means run. Run away from it. Run away from it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. For instance, what business do you have when you go to a store to buy? You are walking around the display of alcohol. Huh? You want to drink? There are people who go to store. They just, you know, sightseeing, window shopping, and sit and say, why don't you look at this wine? Maybe good for your health. And then he checks it. Oh, man, this one is only 3% alcohol. I think I can try it. And sit and say, why not? Buy it, put it in your bag. So he looks this way, look that way. Nobody is saying you are blessed. Nobody is saying you are blessed. And Satan says, and put it in that little fridge in your bedroom. And at night, he locks the door. So why don't you taste that thing now? Flee all appearance of evil. You have your wife, but you're always interested in, you know, working with other women. Or vice versa. You have your husband, but you like the way somebody dressed. You like to always have a chat with him. This day of technology, we're just chatting. Just chatting. Your dress in church today was very wonderful. Flee all appearances of evil. In Africa, they used to say, anything you don't want to eat, don't smell. Because the mouth is the next place to the nose. Am I right?
Yes,
wonderful mothers in the kitchen. Am I right?
Yes,
that's how it goes. So flee. That's what it was. Flee. You flee appearance of evil. Flee. Anything you know can be a trap. There is no metal object that goes close to magnet that will not end as subject. So don't go close. There are things you don't go close to. There are things I don't go close to. Everything must have limit. You must have restriction. We live in the faith by liberty, but not without restriction. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's true, but limit. Gauge. You are in courtship? Can I have a kiss, please? The sexual relationship has commenced. He said, if I don't kiss him, he will not marry me again. Let him carry his load and go away. Oh, somebody saying, I don't think this man knows what's happening in this modern world. What modern world? You know, the youths have to have their own class. You are not the first to be youth. We were all youths before. Don't harass anybody that you are youth. And evil has existed from the foundation of the world. So don't say, you know, we are in the present age of evil. All of us have passed through that stage before. Don't harass anybody. I say, put gauge on your relationship. Put gauge. Don't carry your leg to where you easily fall into temptation. Some of your friends, you know, take marijuana, take drugs and all of that, and you want to go there? Flee. You are not stable in the faith yet. You say, I want to go and preach to them. Don't go. Don't go. I beg you. Don't go. Amen. Well, I hope somebody God bless this morning. Don't forget, heaven is our destination. And godliness is what guarantees us being there. Godliness is what guarantees us being there. If for nothing, for the sake of heaven waiting for you, flee all appearances. It's better for your body and the affection of you to suffer now. In view of heaven that is waiting for you, rob me of drink, rob me of immorality, rob me of anything, make mockery of me. I'm getting ready somewhere. I want to go there. I want to get to heaven. I made up my mind. I must get there.
Amen.
You will surely get there.
Amen.
Help me give Jesus a big hand to all of our prayer. Get more excited, somebody. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. Please rise to your feet. Service is about closing. Now you are going to see a touch of God upon your life.
Amen.
Anyone here this morning with any form of sickness or disease, Jesus is touching you now.
Amen.
Once sin is gone, healing comes. He said, go and sin no more. You decide to drop sin, he releases his healing. I perceive some individuals are here this morning who need the healing touch of God. I want you to please put your hand on your body, any part of your body. Now I decree the healing power of God for everyone here. That stranger that came in here with you is no more there. Every time Jesus taught the word, healing followed. Therefore, because you have received the word of the Lord this morning, your healing is established right now. From the top of your head to the sole of your feet, I decree total healing for you now. In Jesus' precious name. Now, if you came in with any pain, disease, sickness, do you believe that Jesus has healed you?
Yes.
You will share your testimony.
Amen.
You will share your testimony.
Amen.
For want of time, we will not be taking the testimonies now, but in case you had got touched, you want to wait behind to share your testimony in the second service or in the course of the week at midweek service, why not? But all through this week, go back for your test. They will